Blog Talk Radio.
Today's message is patience, the cure for the curse of instant gratification. We're going to focus again on Galatians 5:22 in the book of James. This is the fourth fruit of the Holy Spirit of the Most High God. You know, the truth is we're a generation in constant need of instant gratification, from fast food to on-the-spot salvations, and then even our new cars and McMansions while we're still in our 20s. We want everything, and we want it now. And don't you think for a moment that our enemy Lucifer doesn't understand this weakness in our DNA? In fact, there's an occult curse described in Lucifer's playbook, The Protocols, that's used to snare mankind in this way through debt spending. And his minions and the bankers use it against mankind to quench the move of the Holy Spirit in our lives and enslave us as wage slaves. They capitalize on the fact that when we're saved and born again, our old natures, also known as the flesh, linger. And they wage war against the Spirit. Then Satan, posing as the angel of light, Lucifer, knows exactly how to play humanity against our desires for instant gratification. You know, like the new car and the new house on instant credit, the moment you get a job. What's happened to savings and waiting a while? So the truth is that patience is more than just a virtue. It's essential if you want to live a life for Jesus. And this sort of life requires long suffering. So do you ever get tired of the rat race? By the way, this fiat-based debt money system is founded on the petrodollar, and endless debt necessitates the rat race. Is this all starting to fit together for you now? So the very moment consumer spending and demand stops in terms of an exponential growth, debt expansion ceases, or the dollar's decoupled from crude oil, the entire economy of the U.S. collapses, and it's all by design. That's why we hear reports on the news every week about consumer confidence and quantitative easing and the war on terror in the Middle East. The Illuminati and their bankers need to keep the sheep buying. The sheep have to keep on buying, keep on consuming. The Fed has to keep on printing money, and the OPEC nations need to keep accepting dollars for the medium of exchange for their oil. It's not all about the health of our economy and terrorists. It's about control and snaring of souls for Satan. There's nothing new here either. This has been the money changer's ploy for millennia. In the time of Rome, Caesar clipped coins and allowed slavery. But today, the private banks cleverly called the Fed, and it simply prints money. And you know, this money's called dead presidents. And then, you know what? And then we have the wage earners, that's us, pay a graduated income tax. It was first proposed by Karl Marx in his Communist Manifesto. You know, isn't this crazy? That's a wage slave. In fact, the bankers don't even have to print the money anymore. You know, all they have to do is add some zeros to their ledgers with one or some number in front of it, and they call it quantitative easing. And they're doing it at a rate of $85 billion a month right now. And so what are they doing with all this cash? Well, they're buying up all the land, natural resources, productive capacity in factories and facilities all around the world, and commodities. And they're doing this before they collapse the dollar and try to usher in their new world order and its beast government. I'm telling you, this is the greatest covert transfer of wealth in the history of the world. It truly is. But like I said, nothing's new. The Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Read it in your King James. All evil. Which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It's 1 Timothy 6:10. And then Mayer Amschel Rothschild, who lived from 1744 to 1812, was the founder of his family's house, so to speak. And here's what he said. He's a big banker, and he had five sons, and they were, like, situated in all the major countries of the world at the time. He said, let me issue and control a nation's money, and I care not who writes the laws. And then Karl Marx in the Communist Manifesto that he wrote in 1848 said, money plays the largest part in determining the course of history. And then our president, Thomas Jefferson, warned us, and here's what he said, the modern theory of the perpetuation of debt has drenched the earth with blood and crushed its inhabitants under burdens ever accumulating. That's what's happening right now. And Presidents Madison, Jackson, Lincoln, Roosevelt, and Wilson all issued similar warnings. And you know what? They fell on deaf ears. And listen to what FDR said in November 21st, 1933, in a private letter that he wrote to his Illuminati advisor, Colonel Mandel House. FDR wrote, the real truth of the matter is, as you and I know, that a financial element in the large centers has owned the government ever since the days of Andrew Jackson. That large financial element's the Illuminati. And they worship Lucifer. The truth is that stable economies are built on private money, that's gold and silver coin, public debt, and long-suffering, or patience. Whereas these unstable phony economies are built on private money, that's the Federal Reserve note, that used to promise to pay in gold and silver, and now it's nothing. It's just an IOU. And then instead of private debt, there's public debt, okay? Instead of public debt, there's private debt, you know, all of our charge cards, and then instant gratification. So stable economies have private money, gold and silver, public debt, and long suffering, and these unstable phony economies like we're in right now have public money, that's paper funny money, private debt, your charge cards, and instant gratification. That's how they snare you. You know, Chuck Baldwin wrote a really good article titled Money Changers, Destroying America and Christians. Don't see it? The Christians really don't see it. The pastors aren't preaching it. And you can read that on his News with Views page. It was written a few years back, but it's really good. And there's another source of some really good background information on this. Taylor Caldwell wrote a book back in the 70s titled Captains and the Kings. And it's in there. She describes it so well. Now, remember, the Bible also warned us in Proverbs that the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender. So through the weakness of our human condition, these sons of Belial and the bankers use man's desire for instant gratification to make wage slaves out of us. In this rat race, as our nation and this world marches lockstep, I'm telling you, lockstep, into a cashless electronic version of feudalism. And then we're all going to be forced to take the mark of the beast to buy and sell. It's happening. In fact, I see so much irony in this culture today. You know that current craze we have of body piercings engaging? That's when the people get their ears pierced and they start putting those little rings in there and stretch out their earlobe. Well, they view that as a sign of really being cool, you know, self-expression and freedom. And actually, it's an Old Testament symbol of voluntary servitude. If you read Exodus chapter 21, verses 1 through 6, read it in the King James or the New King James. I'm just going to paraphrase it through the New King James. You know, it was talking about a time when a Hebrew servant had served for 6 years. And actually, it's a Hebrew slave, okay? And then in the seventh year, he was set free. That's like the Jubilee, okay? And he had to pay nothing. He was set free. Now, if he went out and got a wife and had children, and then he finally decided, you know, I love my master, he could go back to his master and say, I want to work for you. I want to be your slave. And then the master, and this is what it says in verse 6, then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl. That's an ice pick. And he shall serve him forever. Isn't that crazy? I bet you most of those kids getting those piercings pay for it on their charge card. Isn't this ironic? What irony, huh? And the same weakness in man for this instant gratification is played against us as marriage is delayed so we can pursue higher education and get in more debt, you know, for careers so we can become bigger wage slaves, so we can earn more money to feed the system, to feed the beast. And then what happens is shacking up, or worse yet, no strings hooking up, is used by our nation's young adults to satisfy their sexual urges as their bodies, the temples of our Most High God, are defiled by fornication. And I'm telling you, this same type of thing is happening in our modern churches today when they preach greasy grace. You know, instant salvation. And, you know, you'll hear it, just say this prayer, get saved, then get back to your sinning. Oh, I'm sorry, I mean living, you know? And all the while, the devil's sitting there smiling as he's quenching the power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of men and women all over this country and beyond. I'm telling you, this is sick. Now, remember, these occult methods are spelled out in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. I mean Lucifer, sorry. You know, but before you shrug this off and you say, hey, that's a debunked old anti-Semitic document, I suggest you read it. Have you read it? And I promise you, if you do, your life will be forever changed. 90% of what's in there has already happened. Just replace the word Jew or Zion with the words Illuminati and New World Order, and you'll see what I mean. But praise the Lord, the Word of God has a cure for this Luciferian curse. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And this word long-suffering, it means patience. And biblical patience is the cure for this curse of the enemy. That plays upon our carnal urges for instant gratification. So are you a patient person? What would your family say about that? Do you even understand what the Bible means by the term long-suffering or patience? You know, part of the ploy of Lucifer in the protocols is to keep all the countries indebted to the Illuminati bankers for sums that they'll never be able to pay. And all the affairs that are important in this world, like industry and commerce and diplomacy, they're to be kept in the control of the hands of the bankers and the establishment. And then by their capital loans, you know, the way the IMF comes in and finances entire countries and governments, they'll enslave all nations. And then the Illuminati also keeps education on a purely materialistic line, you know. Like there's nothing but matter and matter in motion. You know, we got rid of prayer in the school and the Bible in the school, and we can't talk about creation. It's all evolution. Remember, it's the theory of evolution, and it's not a very good theory at that. But that's the Illuminati plan to keep education focused purely on the material. So you can't even think about any of the spiritual stuff. And then they load the masses with heavy chains of personal consumer debt and taxes, and the sheep are then harvested by the Illuminati and the New World Order. That's what's going on. But praise Jesus, this fourth fruit of the Spirit, which is long-suffering or patience, it's the fruit that cures the Illuminati curse. It does, this curse of instant gratification. So let's start with some simple things. I'm just going to ask you a few questions. Like, how do you deal with interruptions? You're working, you're very busy, and the phone rings, or your child comes up and needs something. How do you react? How do you deal with irritations? Do things bug you? Do things easily irritate you? You know, like cold food, long lines, inept clerks at the store, traffic jams. How about when you lose your keys or you get a flat tire? How do these basic, simple things of everyday life in the rat race affect you? You know, how about inconveniences? You know, we like everything fast, and we don't want to be inconvenienced. You know, today we got to have fast food, the express checkout, instant coffee, instant oatmeal, and microwave ovens. Now, did your microwave ever break? How do you survive without that thing? And by the way, that's a whole other story for another day, but I wouldn't cook my food in the microwave. It changes the protein structure of food, and it can cause cancer. The Russians outlawed it for decades, yet we have everybody cooking their food in microwaves because we want it fast, you know? So everything has to be fast. Think about it, from texting to Twitter. In fact, emails even become too slow because we want it and we want it now. So we're a very impatient people, and that's an easy segue into sin. And it's an open door to invite the enemy in. And once you do, look out. Now let's get a little bit more serious here. How do you deal with an incapacity? You're laid up with a major illness, or something happens in your family with a loved one, you know? And it's changed your ability to conduct your professional life, you know? Do you ever catch yourself saying, I'd give all that I have if I could just change my situation, you know? But you can't do anything about it. So how do you react at times like that? And let's focus a little bit more. How do you deal with the imponderables, you know, like this new world order that's just creeping up on us that you can't really do anything about, you know? In fact, you don't maybe even understand the whole thing, and you can't make sense out of it. And you run the whole situation through your mind with all your little formulas and your Bible-proof texts, and it still doesn't work out. What do you do then? How do you react? You know, what do you do? Do these things make you mad? Do you get angry and curse or worse? So how's your checklist doing so far? Maybe you think, you know, I may need patience. No, I'm telling you, I know you need patience. I need patience. We all need patience. I know because I read Lucifer's Protocols. If I could just encourage you to do one thing outside of Bible study and reading, read the protocols, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Well, you think you have these irritations and inconveniences and these incapacities and all these things we talked about by accident? No, they're by design. They're by the design of the prince of this world, Lucifer himself. But we can view them as a gift from God if we understand. And instead of reacting, respond. There's a huge difference between reaction and response. So when we understand this, we can say, thank you, Lord. And we can really start to live Romans 5:3, which says tribulation works patience. So when they come into our lives, what they're doing is they're revealing our flaws and our need for the Lord. And God's allowing them to happen to grow patience in our lives. So remember, this is the fourth fruit of the Spirit, patience. And so truly, these irritations shouldn't be viewed as obstacles or even the assault from the enemy, which they are, but actually as opportunities to grow. So by design, this prince of the world, Lucifer, you know, we all know about him. He's become so cunning in the way he's doing it. But we have a God who's above it all, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's given us his Holy Spirit to have victory over these ways of the devil. So we're going to focus in this message on 3 points in terms of how we can apply the fourth fruit of the Holy Spirit as a cure against Lucifer's curse of instant gratification. First, we've got to understand what patience is. So what is it? Well, remember, in the King James, it's called long-suffering. And it's not merely the ability to put up with a tedious task or endure pain or suffering or deal with those irritating people you run across every day. No, it's so much more than that. And here's what theologian William Barclay described it as. And I'm going to quote him. He said, it is not the patience which can sit down and bow its head and let things descend upon it and passively endure until the storm has passed. It is the spirit which can bear things, not simply with resignation, but with blazing hope. It's not the spirit which sits statically, enduring in one place, but the spirit which bears things because it knows that these things are leading to the goal of glory. It's not patience which grimly waits for the end, but patience which radiantly hopes for the dawn. Boy, that says it all, doesn't it? That's what long-suffering truly means. It's not sticking it out and grinning and bearing it, but saying, I know that whatever happens, Jesus does all things well. So in the middle of it all, whatever it is, I'll give him praise. And when you're going through that, just stay the course. Lift your hands up and praise Jesus. Now, if we don't learn this one thing, I'm telling you, we won't learn anything else. And I guarantee you, you'll fail and be snared by Lucifer. So that means that without patience, we're doomed. But just remember, we're not doomed until we quit persevering, until we quit long-suffering. But when we quit, we're doomed. So never give up. That's what being patient means, and that's what it means to bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience and long-suffering. You know? So you just have to stay the course. And then the second point, why is patience important? Well, would you like to be a mature Christian? People who look up to you, not in some pride-filled way, but as a reflection of Jesus Christ, you know, just like what we're told to be. How would you like to be victorious in all circumstances, you know, triumphing over everything that comes your way, you know, from your old sinful self to sick society and sinister Satan, victory over it all? How would you like to have all your needs met and not self-sufficiency, but his sufficiency for your life? You know, perfect peace and tranquility. Well, the truth is, and I'm telling you, it all comes through the fruit of the Spirit known as patience. So it's necessary. Patience is necessary for maturity. James says in chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So these irritations we talked about, you know, these imponderables, our incapacities, they're nothing but really the testing of our faith. And by the way, the word perfect here, when James used it, simply means mature. So God wants us all to be full-grown and mature in the faith, once and for all delivered unto the saints, as Jude put it. So there's no maturity without patience, and no patience without trials or tribulations. So God's allowing these trials and tribulations to develop us. Think about it. You know, are children patient? No, they're not. Come on. Think about it. They don't know any difference between the word no and not yet. If your child says, hey, can I have that? And you say, wait. It's like saying no to them. That's how God sees us in our misapplication of our gift of his saving faith. You know, he wants us to grow up. There's an old Dutch proverb, and I love it. It says, give to a pig when it grunts, and give to a child when it cries, and you'll have a fine pig and a bad child. You know, we say things like, Lord, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to have any problems. I just want to breeze through life in this perfect peace. Well, if you do that, I promise you, you'll never develop into a mature Christian. This poem sums it all up. It really does. Robert Browning Hamilton wrote this. And I'll tell you, it sums it all up. He said, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. And then I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word said she. But oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. That's powerful, isn't it? So the point is that tribulation brings patience, and that makes us mature. So what should we do when times get tough? Well, James tells us in chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacked wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. So we pray, Lord, take it away, but we ought to be praying, Lord, give me wisdom to get through this, to understand what the purpose of this trial is, or this tribulation. So pray that way, and pray that God gives you wisdom to pass the test. Because I'm going to tell you what, you cannot flunk out of this one. You'll just have to keep taking the test over and over again until you pass. So maturity is the first reason for patience. And you will not move along in your walk with Jesus until you pass this test. And then it's also necessary for victory. Look what he says in verse 12 of chapter 1. James says, blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which God has promised to them that love him. So this word here, endure, means has patience. And this crown of life, it's not the one we cast at the feet of Jesus when we go to heaven. There's a series of different crowns, and maybe one day we could do a study on that, provided the Lord's willing. But you see, we're to rule and reign in this life. Romans 5:17 tells us that. And that cannot happen without patience. And so, you know, going back to the children analogy, children aren't strong, and neither are they victorious. And as disciples, we're called to be spiritual warriors and not putty in the devil's hands. So we must be patient and grow up in the faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph." How? In Christ. Praise the Lord. We can do all things through Christ who lives and dwells richly in us. Isn't this cool? So when the trials come, we endure and then we mature. So stay the course. Stand fast. And when the devil comes along then and tries to use this playbook out of the protocols, we become victors rather than victims. Proverbs 25:28 says, "He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." You ever see anybody living like that with no control over their spirit? I'm sure you have, you know. They've never learned maturity because they have no patience. So they have in their life this wreck. It's just a shambles, you know. They're products of the Illuminati materialistic education system that I talked about. They've become wage slaves and tax serfs and probably have a few kids out of wedlock to boot. That's a life with no rule over his own spirit. And why? Because they don't even know about the spiritual realm. That's all because Lucifer's got his plan out there, and he's turning the people into his dirty playthings. So their life, their home, their business, their witness, it's all a shambles. And I'm telling you, it's by the design of the devil, and it's all in the protocols. And the devil, when you give him that permission and you fall victim to that, he can come and go as he pleases. And you are literally like a city with the walls broken down and crumbled. And all because we haven't learned these spiritual truths. And the primary one here is patience. So what else are we supposed to do when these trials and tribulations come? Well, we're to endure until mature. And then when the enemy comes, all we have to do is lift our hands up in the air and praise God. That's right. Say, "Lord, I don't know what this is all about. I don't know why you allowed it. I can't understand it. But, Lord, I'm going to endure and be patient and praise you." And then just start singing, "I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord." And you know what happens when you do that? That devil goes crazy. He can't stand it. And he'll stop dead in his tracks. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, "In everything," get that word there, "in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So patience is necessary for maturity. Patience is necessary for victory. And patience is necessary for true prosperity. In James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman," and that's a farmer, "waits for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receives the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Wow, isn't that exciting? So James is saying farmers know they cannot hurry along the harvest. Their prosperity requires patience, and so does ours. As disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul told the Galatians in chapter 6, verse 9, "In due season you will reap if you faint not." So farmers know the law of the harvest, and they know they don't reap unless they wait. You see, a farmer has to wait for the rains. The former rain in the spring, that germinates the seed. And then the latter rain in the fall causes the grain to ripen. And I'm telling you what, there's a huge spiritual parallel here. So he has to wait patiently. I'm telling you, he has to wait. He has to wait, and so do we. And the Bible says over and over again, wait in the Lord. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait, I say, on the Lord." Isaiah 30:18 says, "Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted." Praise Jesus. Isn't that exciting? And then get this. These delays, they aren't denials. So if you want God to answer prayer, you're going to have to learn to wait upon the Lord. And then remember, that means to long for him, to listen for him, to look for him, and to live for him. And listen to message number 76. It's titled, "Tribulation Trials are Overcome with Supernatural Strength." And you can learn more about this whole waiting upon the Lord teaching. So remember, Jesus tarries because he wants us to grow. That's why he hasn't come back yet. And I'm going to run out of time here, so catch the end of this in the archive. That's the way he ripens his grain. That's us, you know. We're the barley. We're the first harvest. He ripens us through these trials and through these tribulations. And so the answer is we're not ripe yet. That's why he's tarrying. You see, with God, timing is far more important than time. So just wait on the Lord, and you're going to be blessed. You truly are. And then patience also produces tranquility. James says in chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. We have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. So there's no happiness without tranquility. There's none. And there's no tranquility without patience. And, you know, an impatient person is always an unhappy person. James 5:11 again, behold, we count them happy which endure. So the truth is, we cannot be happy and impatient at the same time. Now, if you're having trouble with patience, try laughing. I'm serious. Just laugh. It's an incredible medicine. I'm telling you, learn to laugh at your problems, and then you'll never run out of things to laugh at. I'm serious. I've learned that from my own life. And no, that's not being frivolous. God made us with the capacity to laugh. So laugh. It's a really good medicine. Have you ever seen things in your life get so bad that there's nothing else you can do but laugh? I'm telling you, I have. I'm sure we all have, and it really makes you feel better. But there are some people who just don't have any tranquility. I see them all the time, especially in traffic jams around Pittsburgh, you know, when they're commuting. You ever notice how tense they look in that situation, especially when your lane starts to move and theirs isn't? Well, there's really nothing we can do about that in times like that. You know, we've got to just learn to get used to it. So, you know, what I do now is I just put the radio on with some praise music, and I just start praising and worshiping the Lord. I just say, Lord, I can't change this, so give me some grace to endure it. Grant me your grace, and then by your grace, I'll be at peace. And then I just thank him for giving me that peace. And then that keeps me from getting angry at those other drivers and getting into sinning. It works. So the fruit of the Spirit, as James puts it, is patience here. And it develops maturity, victory, prosperity, tranquility. So we've looked at what patience is and what it does in our lives. So let's wrap this message up now with how we can have it. How do we get patience? Well, Paul put it like this. The fruit of the Spirit is what now? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. So that's not by accident the order he put it there, because long-suffering or patience is actually the composite or the outcome of those first three, love, joy, and peace. And we can see this right here in the scriptures, and this is how I'm going to wrap up the message now. This is so cool. And when this came alive to me, I got so excited. There's like so much order and perfection in God's word. And I'm telling you, you see it best in the King James. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, love suffereth long, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Ephesians 4, 2. The plain truth here is that loveless people are impatient people. So if you're impatient with your spouse or your children, if you're not showing them the love that you should be showing them, the problem isn't your impatience. It's the fact that you lack the first fruit, which is love, agape love. The secret of success in doing anything is seeing that thing from the eyes of the other person's point of view. You know, and a loveless person is a very selfish person. They're always looking at everything from their point of view. You know, me, never from the other person's point of view. So, you know, like a successful parent can see life from their child's point of view. A successful businessman sees his business from his customer's point of view. And a successful husband sees their life through the eyes of his wife. And that's the reason the Bible says we forbear one another in love and long suffering. So just remember, love suffers long. And so we all need to be filled with that agape love that I covered a couple messages ago. And then when someone's full of that love, almost nothing will provoke them. So long-suffering or patience comes from love. And then it comes from joy. Isn't this cool? Look at this. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so what makes us endure? Strength. So the next time you have a need or you say, I need patience, check your joy quotient. You know, are you rejoicing in the Lord, or has your impatience made you hateful and spiteful? You know, impatient people are really nasty people. We all know them. Bump into them every day. And they're having trouble. They're having a trouble with their joy quotient. They don't have any joy. So these nasty people, they aren't rejoicing in the Lord. And like I said, remember, this fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. So an impatient person simply has no peace. And why don't they have any peace? Because they have their eyes on the problem, whatever it is that's making them impatient, rather than the Lord. Don't forget what Isaiah said in 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. That's Jesus. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. So here's the truth about fruit. You'll never see it in a factory being made or manufactured. Isn't that true? There's no such thing as a fruit factory. I mean, you may see a shirt factory or a brick factory. You know, I even am involved with a fiberglass factory. But you'll always see fruit orchards or fruit plantations. The point here is there's no fruit without life. You cannot manufacture patience. And the fruit of the Spirit is patience. It comes out of life and a life in Jesus Christ. You know, the same Bible that says in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is patience, says a few verses later, if we live in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. That's in verse 25. So the only way that this fruit's going to ripen and grow is in the right climate. Just think about this for a minute. You can't grow bananas in Alaska. And likewise, you're not going to grow and produce the fruit of the Spirit unless you're walking in the Spirit in the right climate. So just remember, you're never doomed until you quit. And you'll never have patience until you abide in the Spirit. And this is a choice we all have to make. Then never forget, you don't produce that fruit, you simply bear it. Jesus said, you abide in me, let my word abide in you, and then you will be fruitful. That's John 15, verses 7 and 8. I love you all, I truly do. So forsake all and trust Jesus, and watch your patience grow. That's the cure for this curse of the enemy called instant gratification.
Lord, with me, abide.
So remember to abide with Jesus when the darkness deepens, when you're helpless and your joy grows dim, and then you'll fear no foe as his hands bless you through it all. I love you all. Now go out and stand fast and yield the fruit of the Spirit, patience,